Utah State Baseball is on the air. Let's join the Blue Chip Sports crew live from the press box for all the action of Warriors baseball on the Blue Chip Sports Radio Network, right here at BlueChipBroadcasting.com.
The Stan State Warriors were one strike away from starting the 2026 CCAA season on a winning note last night, but a single by Mark DiCarlo Jr. and a three-run double by Dylan Unangst sent the Warriors to another late-inning close defeat. Today, Stanislaus turns to a couple of left-handers who have had good success the last couple times out, Peyton Hawkinson and Rocco Garola, against a very impressive left-handed East Bay lineup. Can the Warriors wipe away the bad taste from their mouths from last night's gut-punch loss? Or will the Pioneers continue their winning ways? We're about to find out on a beautiful Saturday afternoon in the Central Valley of California. Warrior Baseball is next.
Whatever your game, whatever your level, Played Against Sports has you covered. From the field to the court, and every fitness or recreational pursuit in between, our selection of both new and quality used sports equipment means you're always ready for the next challenge. Outgrow your gear? Bring it in. Trade up or cash out. It's all about keeping you in the game. Reuse, recycle, replay. Visit Played Against Sports on McHenry Avenue in Modesto today.
Well, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Warrior Baseball Field on the campus of Stanislaus State University. Here in Turlock, California, it is time for Warrior Baseball as the Warriors will take on Cal State East Bay in a doubleheader this afternoon. The second and third games of this series after East Bay came back from a 5-1 deficit and then a 6-5 deficit in the ninth and scored four runs with two outs and really gut-punched the Warriors in a 9-6 victory. And so for Stanislaus, an opportunity to bounce back. And for Cal State East Bay, who got off to a little bit of a slow start, they have won six of their last nine. They are 1-0 in conference, 9-7 overall. Stanislaus 0-1 in conference. They are 9-9 overall. And joining me here on the Played Against Sports pregame show and throughout game one of this doubleheader will be the coach, Larry Johnson. And Larry, welcome to beautiful Stanislaus State campus. It is a gorgeous day today.
It's a great day to play too.
So Larry, if you look at Stanislaus, you know, they have now dropped six of their last seven, and they've done it in the fact that they haven't been blown out once. They are 2-7 in games decided by three runs or less or in extra innings. That can start to wear on you if you're a club. What do they need to do to try to sustain some of the success that they had earlier in the season?
Well, number one, they have to have a really short memory from last night. As I walked in today, I talked to a couple of their coaches and said, oh yeah, it was right there, but we let it get away because we didn't execute. And that's what they got to do. They got to play a complete game of baseball where every opportunity they got to take advantage of. And they've got to make things happen, execute, pick up runners when you have them in scoring position with less than two outs, execute, bunt, throw strikes, and play solid baseball, which they've been doing in small increments, but they haven't put the total package together yet.
Not, and especially not consistently enough. They've blown people out in games that are not competitive. Yep. They're 7-2. Yep. So that tells you it's a team that hasn't figured out how to win the close games yet. They're a great front runner, but they haven't been able to bounce back when things don't go well for them. And today they need their lefties to go long a little bit. Austin Ballantyne, who was cruising through the first five innings, he allowed one hit and one run and had thrown 75 pitches and looked like he was going to give the Warriors six, probably seven good innings. And the wheels fell off in the sixth inning. He couldn't get out of the sixth. They had to use Cam Rosen. They had to use Eli Blurton. And then they finally had to use Pierce Saylor to get out of the ninth inning. That's a lot of ammunition the Warriors burned in a game they ended up losing last night.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, Coach Kenny had to go to the pen in that situation, listening to it, thought, well, okay, he was going to have it. But then the balls start falling in, hits start showing up, and unfortunately had to go to the pen, and then the game, you know, they took it to the ninth with a lead, and then the wheels really came off.
Well, and Blurton threw a couple of really good pitches, and give Mark DiCarlo Jr. credit. He fouled off a couple of tough pitches, one right in on the hands that you just didn't think there was any chance he would get his bat on. Was able to spoil that off. Blurton left a slider a little bit out over the plate, and DiCarlo put it in play, got the ball to land in right field, and then you could feel the deflation in the Warriors, and the game was still tied, but you could feel like it was heading in a bad direction, and then Dylan Unang just rocketed one into the gap to clear the bases and really, for all intents and purposes, end the ball game. For Stanislaus to win the close ones, there's two things I want to talk with you about from yesterday I thought were key. In situations where runs were not scored, but it had a huge impact on the game. The first was the fifth inning when Austin Ballantyne did not give up a run, but he had to throw a ton of pitches in that fifth inning. He got it, lost some command, walked a couple guys. That then, I think, set the tone for the sixth inning.
And that seems to be the problem. And somewhere along the line, you throw in an error where they get an extra at-bat, and that seems to start the ball rolling, and then they come apart.
And then we flip it to the bottom of the eighth inning. The Warriors get the gift run on the wild throw by Kripe, the catcher, allowing Likens to score from first. You got a runner second, nobody out. Yep. Taylor walks, and then now you got first and second, nobody out. You can't get the bunt down, and both runners never move.
Right.
And you almost like you let them off the hook a little bit, and all of a sudden, if you have a two-run lead, the base hit by DeCarlo is no big deal. You get the next guy out, and game over. Yep. And those are the little things that Stanislaus is not doing. And to flip the script now, Larry, and talk about East Bay, that's exactly what the Pioneers do, and they do it so very well.
Yes, and it shows that they've you know, really started to play solid baseball. And when you do those little things, and you mentioned the little things that have come back to bite the Warriors when they don't execute in those types of situations have cost them ball games. And from the other side of the point, you got East Bay, where they've taken advantage of those types of situations show up, they take advantage of them, and they pull a game out of the hat.
And this is a team that grinds. They are good at grinding. They're the most grinded out team that doesn't have Monterey Bay grinds out at bats, so it's a different talent level. And that's not a knock on the East Bay kids. Monterey is just a national power.
Right.
But they grind it out. They make you work hard to beat them. They're not going to beat themselves, and we saw that again last night. Today, they've got to find some help on the hill. They're going to go with Jackson Ellis, a guy that started three games, has not pitched well. He has started three games, appeared in four, and he's pitched a total of 9 1/3 innings. He has struggled. He has been excellent here. He's pitched twice here. He's thrown 9 innings. He's given up just 1 run and 5 hits. So can the Warriors be patient with him? He is a guy that struggles to throw strikes. Can you make him dig himself his own hole and not help him out? That's going to be a big key, I think, to this game, which sets up game two.
And I think that's really key for the Warriors from the standpoint that he's thrown really well here, but he is not throwing away from here that well. So they've got to take advantage of at-bats, you know, don't chase pitches out of the zone, and create situations and then execute when those situations are there, to be able to battle him.
And I think if you use Bay, you just want to keep it close. They've shown the ability to come back. They want to keep this game close, make it a 1 or 2 run game headed into the last couple innings. They like their chances because of the way they go after things. And the Warriors used a lot of ammunition out of that bullpen last night.
Yep.
In yesterday's coaches show, Coach Kenny Leonasio talked about the importance of turning the page each game in the 4-game, 3-day weekends in the CCAA. Well, after last night's late inning loss, his Stan State Warriors will get a chance to put that to the test. Earlier today, we talked about how his team can turn the page, the emergence of Peyton Hawkinson, and what that means for his rotation, and what his team needs to do to match the grittiness of the East Bay Pioneers. It's the Coach Kenny Show, sponsored by Crivelli Insurance.
Life is getting more complicated, especially for those at or over the age of 65. If you hadn't heard, big changes are coming to Medicare in 2025. And Lori Crivelli and her team at Crivelli Insurance take the guesswork and fear out of applying for Medicare supplemental insurance. In business since 1993, Lori and her staff have a process in place to provide the best information and support for those seeking a Medicare insurance supplement. Crivelli Insurance also provides full insurance services for auto, home, farm, business, workers' comp, and even life insurance. To set up an appointment, please give them a call at 209-668-3319. That's 209-668-3319. Or you can reach them on the web at CrivelliInsurance.com. Crivelli Insurance, working tirelessly to help you make the best Medicare insurance decision for both you and the ones you love.
It's time for the Coach Kenny Show, brought to you by Corbelli Insurance, here with baseball coach Ken Anasio. And to be honest, that was a tough one last night. Down to one strike away, and they get the couple of, fought off a couple good pitches, got the base hit to right field, and then Unangs comes in and clears the bases to give them the lead. What did you tell your team last night and this morning as they prepare to, as we talked about yesterday, turn the page?
Yeah, I mean, you know, welcome to the CCA. You got to play well. You know, we left some runners out on the bases, obviously, and that came back to hurt us. But you got to put this behind, and it's a 4-game series for a reason, and they all are very important, and you have to get ready for this game and find a way to win this game. And I think that they responded well last night and this morning, and we're ready to play.
You know, it's interesting, Ken, in 6-7 hours from now, we could have a completely different thought process of the entire series based upon how these next couple of games go. And getting guys to understand that, as you talked, that are typically just playing one game a day every other day, it's a very different thought process.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's a very short amount of time once you're playing 4 games, and you can't get too high and you can't get too low. And every game that you're playing has to be the most important game of the year. And that sounds simple, but it's not. But that's what we're going to have to do. And so we talk a lot about, you know, it doesn't really matter what happens to you. It's how you respond. And so we want to see how we're going to respond today.
Ken, you get your two lefties going today, Peyton Hawkins and Rocco Garola. Both threw the ball exceptionally well up in Chico last weekend. What have you seen from these guys as they've seemed to settle in and really kind of almost feed off one another as the afternoon progresses?
Yeah, I mean, it comes back to them and everybody else. It's just, you know, getting strikes, throwing strikes, getting ahead of guys. And if they do that, they both can be very tough. And they both compete. And everybody believes in them. And I think they're gaining some confidence. So they just need to continue to build and just do the things they've been doing and not to try to be the hero today. Just we need them to be themselves. And if they do that, it gives us a good chance to win.
And finally, Chris Ortiz is going to play first base again today. Thought he did a decent job over there. A guy who's caught most of his career, had a couple of hits for you, including that big RBI double early. Hoping maybe the rust is kind of worn off now because he didn't get a chance to play in the fall, and hopefully he can kind of get the bat going because we know he can hit at this level.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you just need that little spark or something to kind of get you back plugged in. And I know that, you know, he didn't have a fall, and so he didn't get off to the start he wanted, and you start overthinking that, but all of a sudden now you're like, oh, whoa, I'm going to go play first base. And maybe that kind of, you know, calms him down a little bit and gets him away from focusing on, the negative things. And he had some good at bat. I think he did a good job last night. And it was good to have production from first base because that's what we've been having. I thought he did a good job.
Kenny, thanks so much. I know it's a full day. Appreciate you. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you.
Come back. All the starting lineups and the first pitch right after this.
Timmy, eat your dinner.
No, it's yucky and I don't like it.
I'd rather have chicken nuggets.
You need something healthier than chicken nuggets. It's time to introduce you to something more sophisticated, like Katana Sushi.
What is Katana Sushi?
Katana Sushi Bar. They have a wide variety of authentic Japanese cuisine, like edamame, shrimp tempura, and delicious dinner options. Located right across from Stanislaus State University at 170 West Monte Vista Avenue, you can dine in, take out, or use a delivery service. It is open daily from 12 to 9 p.m.
Thanks, Mom. Going to Katana Sushi is like taking your mouth on a vacation.
For the past 5 years, Price Ford of Turlock has been a steady supporter of our local programs and schools. They contribute to Stan State Athletics and many organizations throughout our area. Each year, they provide FFA scholarships to students from Turlock, Pittman, and Denaire High Schools. And you'll even see them buying animals every year at the fair supporting kids from across the county. We appreciate the team at Price Ford of Turlock for their continued involvement and the way they show up for our community. To learn more, visit priceFordofTurlock.com.
At KW Recovery Lab, we're redefining what recovery looks like. Our dedicated specialists work with you to create a personalized plan, helping you recover faster and feel your best. Whether it's a chill in our cryotherapy chamber, soothing heat in the infrared sauna, a refreshing plunge in the cold tub, or a one-on-one session with our certified athletic trainers, we've got you covered. At KW Recovery Lab, we're here to turn customers into family, strangers into friends, and individuals into community. Visit us at kwrecoverylab.com or call 209-250-2555 to book your appointment today. KW Recovery Lab, your local wellness center, pioneering self-managed healthcare.
Well, the national anthem has just concluded here at Warrior Baseball Field, and it's time for the starting lineups brought to you by Katana Sushi. First, for the visiting pioneers of Cal State East Bay, leading off the center fielder Dominic Nahar, batting second out in right field, one of the key hits last night, Mark DiCarlo Jr., batting third, designated hitter Logan Stelling, the cleanup hitter, who had the big three-run double to clear the bases in the ninth inning, Dylan Unangst. Batting fifth in left field, Gio Martini. The shortstop hitting sixth is Elijah Ramos. Moving up into the seventh spot, third baseman Caleb Chance. Getting his first start of this series behind the plate. Batting eighth will be Kyle Dyer. And batting ninth, the second baseman will be Nick Thompson. And the starting pitcher for the Pioneers will be the big left-hander, Jackson Ellis. Leading off for Stanislaus will be Zach Lewis at second base. A.J. Carter in center field hitting second. Batting third in right field in this game is Mason Kelly. Cleanup hitter at first base, Chris Ortiz. In left field hitting fifth is Corey Likens. The designated hitter batting sixth is Chase Wilson. Moving down to the seventh spot, shortstop Tyler Crudo. Getting his first start of the series behind the plate will be Eric Perez. And batting ninth, the third baseman, Jacob Arias. And the starting pitcher for Stanislaus will be the left-hander, Peyton Hawkinson. Hawkinson coming off by far his best outing as a Warrior as he went seven no-hit innings against Chico State last Saturday. Did allow a run. He walked five and he struck out four. And unfortunately, that was a game the Warriors, when you throw, your starter gives you seven no-hit innings, Larry, you don't want to lose that game, but the Warriors lost that late 3-1.
Wow.
Hawkinson this year, this will be his fourth start, his sixth overall appearance. He's 1-1 with a 3.57 ERA. In 22 and two-thirds innings, he's allowed just 12 hits, 10 runs, 9 of them earned. He has walked 10 and he has struck out 19. Opponents are hitting just 182 against him. And the other issue, which is a command issue, he has thrown 8 wild pitches. He's hit 5 guys.
Yeah. You know, we've seen him early, and we've seen that potential that's in him. You know,
oh yeah,
to throw seven innings and no hit ball in this league.
Dominic Nahar to step in, and we're about ready to get this game going. Stanislaus in their black uniforms, white pants, black hats, black socks. East Bay in their red tops with white numbers and gray pants. So Nahar, hitting .311, a home run, and 11 RBIs, will face the big left-hander, Peyton Hawkinson. And Hawkinson's first pitch is swung on and cued foul to the right side. Strike one. We begin at 1:02. I'm not going to blame Joe for that one because the umpires were late getting here. Yes. That's not his fault.
They were tardy today.
They were tardy. Nahar, not a big right-handed hitter, but he is a handful in a pitch in the dirt, 1-1. In his last two starts, Larry, Hawkinson has been outstanding. 12 innings, 3 hits. Jam job, and Nahar fights it off and loops it foul right side out of play, and it's 1-2. Just 3 hits, 3 runs. He has walked 7, but he has struck out 11. And the key with him, and against this East Bay club, you have got to throw strikes. Yep. You walk them, and they are going to make you pay. Pitches, reach for and hit on a couple of big hops to first. Hawkinson late getting over, and Nahar's going to beat it out. And I think that time, Ortiz, inexperienced at first base, you have to charge that.
Yep.
But the big fellow's got to get over there and cover.
Exactly, yeah. It was a combination. He hesitated just a second, and then he kind of gave up, and he already started to make the toss, and Hawkinson was only halfway there.
So an infield single. On a miscommunication, not the way you want to get started because Nahar can scoot. He had a couple stolen bases here yesterday. And immediately Peyton Hawkinson in the stretch. Mark DiCarlo Jr. had the big hit last night to keep the game going. Hitting .316, a home run, 15 RBIs, and he cannot hold up on an inside pitch. And it's strike one. Defense for Stanislaus, it's Likens, Carter, and Kelly in the outfield left to right. Reyes and Crudo on the left side. Lewis and Ortiz on the right side. Eric Perez, who is the best thrower of the four catchers Stanislaus has, behind the plate, catching Hawkinson. Nahar has got a good lead, and now Hawkinson will chase him back.
And that'll be key, that Hawkinson's got to keep the base runners close. gives the catcher a chance.
And at 6'7", he is not quick to home plate. Yeah. DiCarlo with an open stance from the left side. Nahar goes, pitches swung and rolled slowly to first. Ortiz has got it this time. He will beat DiCarlo to the bag in time. And moving into scoring position is Nahar with one out. Well, that time, two things. A, Ortiz was closer to the bag, and B, DiCarlo Jr., not as fast as Nahar.
Right.
Of course, I'm not sure there's anybody out here that's as fast as Nahar, so that's not saying a whole lot.
That's why he's a leadoff hitter.
So now Logan Stelling hitting .373, a home run, 11 RBIs. Stelling, an interesting guy. Transfer from Memphis, University of Memphis Tigers, D1. He was a pitcher there.
Wow.
Did not hit. First breaking ball is in the dirt, ball one. And you cannot fall asleep on Nahar at second. He will steal third.
That was a nice play by the catcher to get in and block that.
Yeah, both these teams, Larry, with kind of a similar color scheme, kind of the black, red, white.
Yeah.
Pitch is swung on and chop foul at home plate. It's 1-1.
It's the old Cal State Hayward team. That's what they were called when I played.
Back in the day, they were Division III with Stanislaus. They were the two Division III schools in the old NCAC.
Yes.
That shows how old Larry and I. Jody's like, I remember that. One pitch is slashed foul right side, and it's 1-2. That was back when UC Davis was in the conference, Sacramento State, Chico State, Sonoma State, San Francisco, Cal State Bakersfield. That was a tough conference. Yep. Most of those schools are now Division I. 1-2 pitch is swung and a hit back up the middle and pass Crudo into center field for a base hit. Rounding third and scoring is Nahar on an RBI single by Stelling, and the Pioneers take a 1-0 lead. And it's, you know, that's what they do, the Pioneers. You make a mistake, and the Warriors' mistake was a little inexperience at first. Pitcher doesn't get over and cover, and they turn that into a run.
Did a good job, took that fastball and drove it right up the middle of the diamond.
So now Dylan and Angst, who had the big three-run double that gave the Pioneers the lead and the win last night, will bat. And he's going to get fisted a slow lure. And I don't think Reyes saw it off the bat. He's a late break, and everybody's going to be safe.
Yep.
I don't think Reyes saw that off the bat.
Yeah, he didn't react. He just stood there. He saw the ball was finally coming down the line. It came off the bat really crazy.
It was a jam job, and it kind of fisted towards third. Reyes never saw it. By the time he reacted, it was too late. So another infield single on a ball that should have been an out. And first and second, a run in. Still only one out, and Gio Martini will be the batter, another left-handed hitter. Takes a first pitch fastball, a little low, ball one. Home plate umpire today is Mike Green. Nicholas Webb over at first, and Pearson Tejuca Nunez, the crew chief, over at third. So not a great start for Stanislaus. Really, the only ball that's been even hit reasonably hard is Stelling's. That pitch is grounded, a couple of hops, nice pick by Ortiz to his left, scoops it and takes it to the bag himself in time to retire Martini. Runners move to second and third, but now there are two away for Elijah Ramos. Well, Martinez has been busy over there already in this first inning.
They're picking on him.
That was not an easy play. That was hit to glove side.
Yep.
And for a guy that hasn't played a lot, that off that left-handed bat, that ball can really
run on you.
Yeah, it can get on you quick. So Ramos hitting .277, no home runs, 9 RBIs. First pitch in the dirt, stopped by Perez, ball one. And now a lot of pressure on Eric Perez, the catcher.
And for Hockenson to keep the ball out of the dirt.
Well, the Pioneers have a run on three hits and only one ball's left the infield. Pitch is hit to short. Nice big hop for Crudo. His throw across the diamond is going to be picked out of the dirt by Ortiz. And Hockenson gets out of the first inning. A very odd and strange first inning for the left-hander. In the top of the first, the Pioneers pick up a run on three hits. No errors. They leave two left. Going to head to the bottom of inning number one. It's East Bay 1 and Stanislaus nothing.
Life doesn't wait, so why should you? At Modesto Subaru, we've got the adventure-ready lineup that keeps up with you. Daily drives, weekend escapes, or chasing your four-legged co-pilot, Subaru makes every trip more fun. Come experience what's fun, what fits your life, and what's ready today, right here at Modesto Subaru. Because the stories don't start with someday, they start with Subaru. Modesto Subaru, love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. Visit us at 4360 McHenry Avenue, Modesto. Call 209-248-0029 or visit us online at modestosubaru.com. Modesto Subaru, adventure starts here.
Well, Jackson Ellis takes the mound at a place he has had a lot of success with a 1-0 lead. For Ellis, this will be his fourth start, his fifth overall appearance. He has no record, an 11.57 ERA. He has pitched just 9 1/3 innings. He's given up 16 hits, 14 runs, 12 of them earned. He has walked 7 in those 9 1/3. He has struck out 10. Opponents hitting .364 against him. And Larry, really, the longest outing he has had this entire season is 3 1/3 innings. That was in his first start down in Florida when they took on Lynn University. He gave up 7 hits and 5 runs, 4 earned in 3 1/3 innings. His last outing was against St. Martin's out of the bullpen. He went 2 innings, gave up 3 hits, a couple runs, both earned, walked 2, struck out 3. He's got good stuff. It's just a matter. He reminds me a little bit of Drew Rasmussen, who pitched for Stanislaus last year, pitched for Central Washington a few years ago. Similar size left-hander. Got good stuff, just can't always control it where they want to put it. Left-hander's first pitch to Lewis is taken for a strike. Zach Lewis back in the leadoff spot today, hitting .313, a home run, and 9 RBIs. Ellis going to pitch exclusively from the stretch. One strike pitch, misses low, 1-1. Ellis has been with the East Bay program for 5 years.
Wow.
In his career, he is 9-10 with a 7.04 ERA. In 57 appearances, 24 of those starts. Fastball misses high, 2-1. But he's been great here.
He was probably really looking forward to today's start with the success that he's had in the past.
Well, we weren't sure. We figured we were going to see Nathan Orozco at some point today. Pitch is at the knees for a strike. Lewis not in agreement. He thought that pitch was low, and it's 2-2. We may see him in game two. But it was curious. Ellis, because of his track record here, I thought we might see him start because he'd started 3 games earlier this year. And sure enough, pitch is swung on and rolled back towards the mound. Ellis off to get it. The left-handed throw is going to be in time to retire Lewis. And there's one away.
A.J.
Carter will be the batter. Carter, who had an at-bat in the 8th inning where he fooled all of us. He fooled the press box. I talking to Coach Kenny before the game. He fooled the dugout. He looked like he got one and he hit it off the end of the bat and it ended up in the glove instead of over the fence. And instead of the Warriors extending their lead, the inning was over. And then things got weird after that. First pitch to Carter, his high in the air. Pretty well to right center field. Going back is Nahar, and he will make the catch in front of the Warrior logo in deep right center field.
Well, that really looked like he got all of that one, too.
Carter gave it a ride, but Nahar able to track it down. Again, there is no wind today. Yeah. We haven't had a chance to do our City Direct weather and field conditions. The field's in gorgeous shape, and it's about 70 degrees and literally not a speck of wind. And Mason Kelly hit one to the moon last night, swings and misses at a breaking ball, strike one. I think Carter thought he got all of it, too.
Yep. I think everybody in the ballpark thought he got all of it when we watched it travel.
And then the changeup swung on a miss, and Kelly behind in the count 0-2. A nice play by Nahar. Nahar can go get it in center field. We saw him made a nice catch in the 9th inning, taking a base hit away from Corey Likens. And Kelly going to rocket one foul down the third baseline on the ground. Count stays 0-2. Kelly hitting .324, three home runs and 17 RBIs. So 1-0 East Bay. Oh and two, the count to Mason Kelly. Pitch misses outside, 1-2. Now, we've seen Mike Green a couple of times, have a pretty good idea, pretty consistent strike zone. He's been solid. We should be very familiar with what to expect from him. Breaking ball misses outside. It's 2-2.
Good crowd today on a sunny afternoon.
Ellis, 6 foot, 190-pound left-hander, graduate student. And a breaking ball swung on and missed as Kelly broke down on the breaking ball. And a 1-2-3 shutdown inning for Jackson Ellis. For the Warriors in the bottom of the first, no runs, no hits, no errors, nobody left. We're through one here in Turlock in game one of this doubleheader. It's East Bay 1 and the Warriors nothing.
We're all fascinated by distant places. Dreaming of adventures and opportunities.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
But what about the world right outside your door? Welcome to City Direct. As a proud family-owned business, we deliver over 94,000 magazines to mailboxes every month, filled with advertisements for local small businesses, community events, nonprofit organization ads, high school and college sports schedules, and loads of coupons. So why look far away when you could find so much right here at home? Look for us in your mailbox or visit our website at citydirectinc.com to get your copy of Turlock Direct, Modesto Direct, or Oakdale Riverbank Direct, and start your local adventure today. City Direct, connecting local businesses with local buyers right at your doorstep.
1-0 East Bay as we head to the top of the second inning. I want to remind you the final game of this series will be tomorrow afternoon at 12 noon. We'll be on the air at 11:45. Randy Hopkins will be back after his assignment has been completed. And remind everybody, it is Turn the Clock Forward, my least favorite day of the year. I am not a morning person, and it makes you a really early morning person. My wife doesn't even bother her at all. But for me, it's brutal.
Yeah, a lot of people it doesn't, but they were on the news this morning. They were talking about stats that happen with people having heart attacks, people having automobile accidents. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
I guarantee you, tardiness at school, you and I remember that when we were both teachers. The tardiness goes up. People are late for work. The production at work goes down this week.
Yep.
First pitch fastball is taken for a strike. Caleb Chance to lead it off. Chance hitting a cool 400 on the year. No home runs, 8 RBIs. Squares the bunt, pushes the bunt up the first base side. Going to be a tough play. Hawkinson off, can't pick it up. And another infield single for the Pioneers. Death by a thousand cuts. Golly. Hawkinson got there. He just couldn't pick it up.
Yep. I think that they've seen how the defense plays bunts, and they're going to keep doing it. Make him make the play.
So the Warriors now. Hawkinson back in the stretch, and Dyer hitting 100, a home run, 4 RBIs. Squares to bunt. First pitch misses outside. Ball one. Dyer's an interesting guy. He has 2 career hits, both home runs.
Wow.
And not a real big guy.
No.
When I was prepping for that, I thought that was fascinating.
That is.
His other home run was against Menlo last year. Bunts it back to Hawkinson, who's got it. He'll underhand it to Ortiz. The putout goes 1-3. Moving into scoring position is Caleb Chance. And I think the way this game is going, that was the right call. But that ball was bunted pretty hard. If you spin and throw, you got a chance to get the runner at second.
Yep.
So the sacrifice puts Chance at second for Nick Thompson. Thompson did not play last night, hitting .231, no home runs and 4 RBIs. Switch hitter batting right-handed against the lefty Hawkinson. First pitch misses a little low and away. Ball one. So far, Hawkinson's been around the plate.
Yes.
He's given up one ball that's been hit, I'll call it decently. Yeah. I mean, Stelling's ball, it was hit solidly on the ground, but it wasn't killed.
No.
Thompson hits one off of Perez to the backstop, and it's 1-1, and home plate umpire Mike Green is going to take a walk out and hand Hawkinson the ball and give Perez a chance to take a little inventory. That never happened to you when you were a catcher, right?
Several times. Oh, too many to don't like to think about those days.
And the equipment's so much better now than it was.
Oh yes,
when you played a couple years ago.
The gloves weak. Oh my! I don't even want to go there. It was just a piece of leather that just stuck on your hand and hoped that you caught the ball in the middle of it.
And I'm guessing the helmets and the masks and the chest protector, not quite as comfortable nor as protective as they are now.
And I'm starting to pay the price with all the arthritis in both
hands. I'm sure. That doesn't count all the balls you and I both had hit back at us throwing batting practice, coaching high school baseball. Pitch to Thompson as he squares to Bunn, and it misses low. Thompson pulls the bat back, and it's 2-1. Where's a little rotation play that time? Reyes never moved. He didn't charge at all. He stayed right where he was at third base. Chance. The runner at second reached on a swinging bunt. No, shoot, it was a bunt. I wrote it down. Got a lot of bunts, a lot of infield singles, a lot of fish shots. Thompson takes a pitch on the outside corner, and it's 2-2.
And a couple of bunts that haven't been played very well.
No, a couple of ground balls that they weren't errors, but they were definitely not fielded cleanly nor well.
Right.
Whether miscommunication or what, I don't know. Again, I don't know what happened to Reyes. He just may have not seen it. Yep. Fastball misses outside, and it's 3-2. And top of the order, and Dominic Nahar waits on deck. And that has not been a good thing if you're a Stanislaus fan this weekend. He has already been all over the base. He's been on base four times in a game and an at-bat. Chance bouncing off a second. 3-2 pitch is swung on and popped up. Shallow right field, going to be a long run for Kelly. He is going to get there near the line to make the catch. Nice job by Kelly. They had him positioned a little shallow and towards the line with the number 9 hitter Thompson up there, but he still had to go a long ways to get that.
Fielder, 1,
two away. Dominic Nahar, who had an infield single and scored the lone run, will be the batter. Nahar, who was the East Bay Freshman Male Athlete of the Year last year.
Wow.
Hit .329 with a home run and 15 RBIs, but here's the key. He stole 23 bases last year. First pitch misses outside, ball one. Had a 10% strikeout rate as a freshman.
That's
in the CCAA. And this year, Larry, it's even better. It is about 8%. He struck out 5 times in 61 at-bats. 62 at-bats now. Fastball misses outside. It's 2-0. Now, DiCarlo, you know, had the big hit last night, but it would be lefty on lefty, and you do have an open bag with Nahar. Changeup misses off the plate wide, and it's 3-0.
Hawkinson just hasn't been able to get in the groove yet.
And he's not missing badly, just a lot of soft contact and pours a fastball in there for a strike as Nahar squared to bunt, pulled the bat back, and it's 3-1. So it'll be pitch number 30 of the afternoon for Hawkinson. Again, I think Hawkinson and Girola combined need to give the Warriors 11, 12 innings today. Pitch is swung on and popped up. Right side, foul territory. Ortiz battling the sun and the wind, and battling the sun and the shadow, and he makes the catch, and Hawkinson gets out of the second inning. For the Pioneers, no runs, a hit, no errors. They leave a runner in scoring position, head to the bottom of the second. It's East Bay 1, and the Warriors nothing.
For the past 5 years, Price Ford of Turlock has been a steady supporter of our local programs and schools. They contribute to Stan State Athletics and many organizations throughout our area. Each year, they provide FFA scholarships to students from Turlock, Pittman, and Denaire High Schools. And you'll even see them buying animals every year at the fair supporting kids from across the county. We appreciate the team at Price Ford of Turlock for their continued involvement and the way they show up for our community. To learn more, visit priceFordofTurlock.com.
1-0 East Bay as we head to the bottom of the second inning. And I want to remind everybody the Warriors are going to head out on the road next weekend as Stanislaus will head down and take on Cal State East Bay. But the Warrior softball team will come back home and they will play their first series at home in CCAA play next weekend. And we are excited to announce that Levi Flores will be back to call those games on Flo College. And we are working very hard to have those on BlueChipBroadcasting.com as well. So you'll be able to have the free radio version or the paid video subscription. So we encourage you to come on out and support Coach Asia Schuber and her women's softball team as they have had a rough weekend. They have gotten off to a great start, but they have played a buzzsaw this weekend in the number one ranked Cal State San Marcos Cougars. And well, the Warriors have scored one run total in three games.
Ouch.
But they will take on Cal State San Bernardino next weekend. First game will be at 1 o'clock on Friday, and then the Saturday, both double hitters Friday and Saturday, and then Saturday's games begin at 11. So join Levi Flores for all the action. First pitch to Chris Ortiz as a fastball misses outside, ball one.
Where are the Warriors going next weekend?
Cal State LA to the launching pad. LA playing Monterey Bay this weekend. That's never fun. Ortiz hitting 143, takes a strike, 1-1, but he had two hits yesterday. He had as many hits yesterday as he had the entire season coming in. Chris, who wasn't here for the fall, he was a second semester transfer in from Wichita State, and so a little behind, and now I think hopefully now starting to settle in. We heard Coach Kenny talk about the fact that he's just playing every day at first base now. It's just where he's going to be until Sanchez comes back. So he doesn't have to think about anything except hitting. 2-1 pitch is swung and a slash foul right side out of play. A little high fastball. Ortiz a little tardy. And it's 2-2. Ortiz in his career, a .280 career hitter in the CCAA. He has nearly 400 at-bats at the Division II level now. Swings and cues a run off the end of the bat towards second. Thompson's got it. He will throw out Ortiz, and there's one away. There's been some funky balls hit today already. Some cue shots and some jam jobs that people didn't see off the bat. It's just been a very odd start to the day.
Yep.
Corey Likens will be the batter. Likens, who came in and pinch hit yesterday for Austin Sargent, hit a rocket with two on and one out in the ninth inning that I thought was going to be ticketed for the gap, and Dominic Nahar, the center fielder, made a great running catch in left center field to preserve the victory for the Pioneers. Likens takes a fastball outside. Corey hitting .245, a home run and six RBIs, but he has been mired in a slump. In the dirt, 2-0. Likens is now 2 for his last 20. Remember, he got off to a really good start at the beginning of the season.
Time to break out.
And when you lose one of your key hitters in Kian Sanchez and Art Navarrete Jr. ends up having his return delayed another few weeks, you need Likens to get back to swinging the bat the way he did.